This morning is in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And it covers a wide range of subjects, including the means of grace and the calling of God into the ministry, the hearing of faith, and God establishing through miracles and wonders and signs that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus of Nazareth is the promised Redeemer. And to show you these things, I want to go back to verses 42 through 44 of chapter 4. And then we'll read the first 11 verses of chapter 5. Luke chapter 4, verse 42. When it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought him, and came unto him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. They didn't want him to go. He'd been a sweet influence on that community. He'd healed their sick. He'd opened to them the scriptures. They didn't want him to go. And I don't blame them. When he's in my study and in my heart as I look at these things that I prepare for you, I don't want that to stop. I know it will. There's times of refreshing, and when that refreshing is done, he departs for a season. And then he comes again. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. Now, we're going to discuss a little bit about the preaching of the gospel. But I want you to see in this verse that the priority of the Son of God was to preach the gospel. Now, if there were any other means that God would have honored above that, wouldn't Christ have used those means? Wouldn't he have honored the Father by using the means that God had provided? But this is the means that God has provided, the preaching of the gospel. And he said, I must go. It's not optional. I must go. I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee, all over there, the synagogue. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. They were done. They'd fished all night. They were done. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he'd left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, I can just almost see his face. Master, shaking that head, we have toiled all night. We're not novice fishermen. We've known nothing but fish and ships since we was old enough to walk. We have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships so that the ships began to sink from all the fish. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him. All right, now let's go back to the last three verses of chapter 4 and hear the words of our Lord as he declares the means of life and hope and assurance before God, the preaching of the gospel. They wanted him to stay there forever. Wouldn't you? That's my hope. One day I'll be with him forever. Forever. I don't know why anybody would want anything else. What more could you want? And of course they did. He healed every sin sick soul they brought to him. He cast out their unclean spirits. He made them to understand mysteries hidden by God before the foundation of the world. Kings and astrologers and wise men all tried to figure it out. They couldn't figure out the mysteries. But God revealed it to them. The means of faith. That comes through the preaching of the gospel. How faith is given to chosen sinners is through the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to turn with me. I quote this all the time, but I want you to read it. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I understand that the first part of chapter 2, he's dealing with Antichrist and the spirit of Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians 2. And he's telling you how that Antichrist deceives the nations and will grow worse and worse. That he was already there. That spirit of Antichrist was already there. What is this spirit? Is it a man? Is somebody? No. The spirit of Antichrist simply means contrary to Christ. A spirit that is contrary to Christ. Everything about it is contrary to Christ as God set him forth in the scriptures. That's Antichrist. And then he goes on to say, verse 13, "And some, because they would not receive the love of the truth, he gave them over to strong delusion that they should believe a lie." He gave them over to themselves. This is what they wanted. This is what they got. Second Thessalonians 2:13. Now in light of all of that, he says, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit," that is a setting apart of the Spirit of God, a renewing of the Spirit of God, "and belief of the truth. Whereunto, or for this cause, he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." What's that mean? That means he called us to be partakers of that glory, of the benefits of it, the accomplishments of it. And the Lord had been gracious to him, and he'd given to many the faith of God's elect. But God's elect are found in every nation, tribe, tongue, and people under heaven. And so he tells them, "I must preach also in other cities." Secondly, I want you to see these men being blessed by God. Luke 4:44, he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. And it came to pass, Luke 5:1, that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw a couple ships there, and he got up in one, and he said to Simon, push out a little. Thrust out just a little bit. I'm going to use this vessel today. Be customary to ask permission before you got in the ship, wouldn't it? But he didn't need to because the ship belonged to him. And so did Simon Peter. And so did his partners. And he stepped right up into the ship. He told them one time, he said, you go down there, go in the city, into Jerusalem, and you're going to go down there and you're going to find a man, and he's going to have the colt of an ass, and it's going to be tied up. Just tell him the master has need of it, and he's going to give him to you. He didn't know who the master was. He didn't know anything about him. But that ass and the man and the apostles all belonged to him to start with. And that's what we need to think along these lines. Jesus Christ is not down here trying to minister to somebody up here. He's on the throne. He's God. God and man in one glorious person. He's Lord of heaven and earth. There's nothing that goes on without his hand, without his permission. Nothing. Nothing. Whether it suits you or whether it don't. Huh? Where you jump up and down and act like a little baby and get mad over stuff like I do. Huh? Doesn't change a thing. He's still Lord. He's still Lord. Why were they drawn there? Why were they drawn there? Well, they were not drawn to him by a great and beautiful building. They were not drawn there by organized efforts of inner-city campaigns like Billy Graham used to do. They were not drawn there even by the miracles, although they may have played some part in it. But here we're told that they were drawn there, verse 1, to hear the word of God. That's why they came. Why are you here? Same thing. All God's churches in this world are the pillar and ground of the truth. The preeminent thing is the gospel. We're trying to teach the gospel through the word of God. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. This is what we're trying to do. We're not trying to build a big building or a big organization or anything else. We're trying to preach the word of God. The word of God gets the ear of all his chosen. My sheep hear my voice. Isn't that what he said? Nobody else does, but they do. They do. So if a hundred walks away and one hears, isn't that great? 101 could have walked away. They were drawn there to hear the word of God. Never a man spake like this man. You know, I'll read through the scriptures and I'll tell you and have told you often, I don't know what that means. I don't know what it means. I'll come up on something and I'll just set it aside because I don't know what it means. There's no sense in me standing up here for reputation's sake and just faking and working my way through it like I knew what it meant. It's a whole lot easier to just tell you the truth. I don't know what it means. He knew what it meant. All of it. Every period. All of it. Never a man spake like this man. Beginning at Moses, when he walked with the disciples after his resurrection, said, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that was written of me. And beginning at Moses, and all the prophets and the Psalms, our Lord expounded to them the things concerning himself. Then, it says, he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Some come here when the services are held, and they go away blessed as the Lord opens to them the scriptures. And there was a crowd there that day that were pressing upon them because God had opened their heart to hear the scriptures, and they wanted to hear more. And they were, I've never seen a crowd of 1,000 in a church. But here's thousands, not 1,000, but thousands. I don't know how many thousands. And they were gathered around him, and they just kept coming forward, trying to get to him, touch him, listen to him, hear him talk, until they backed him up to the sea. There was nowhere else for him to go except to wade out into the lake. And so he just saw those two ships, and he walked over there and got up in one. And how'd he know that was Peter's ship? Peter wasn't in the ship. It tells us that in the text. He was over there washing his nets. And he just looked over at Simon and he said, thrust this ship out a little bit. And Simon he didn't ask him who he was. He just got up in that ship, Jesse, and shoved him out there a little ways. And then thirdly, seeing these vessels, a sweet picture of gospel preachers. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and he prayed him to thrust out a little from the land. Isn't that what he's doing here this morning? Isn't he talking to you out of a vessel? Out of a vessel. Whose vessel is it? It's his. His. How'd he come to have it? It was given to him before I was ever born. He stepped up in this vessel, and this vessel become a means of preaching the gospel. When is a man enabled to preach? Listen to what Paul says in Galatians 1. When it pleased him, when it pleased him to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. It's when Christ comes into the vessel. That's when the vessel's enabled to preach. We have this treasure, Paul said, in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. Nobody there looked to the ship or glorified the ship or went home and formed a pulpit that looked like a ship. They were listening to him. Am I getting through to you? This vessel of God is not here to attract your attention. What ought to attract your attention is Christ. And if I don't have his message, if I'm not preaching him, if his person is not radiating from this pulpit, then don't listen. Go somewhere where it is. Because it's of no value without him. That ship was just a ship until Christ came aboard. Boy, when he came aboard, things changed, didn't it? Things changed. Peter was in the ship. Nobody looking at Peter. He had helpers all around him, but nobody's looking at the helpers. And our Lord sent out the 70, and he told them, he that heareth you heareth me. Who's going to hear him? My sheep hear my voice. And that's why he said, he that heareth. He that heareth. They hear you, they hear me. This vessel had to be positioned. It was good for nothing where it was. It had to be relocated. It had to be positioned where God would have it to be useful for the ministry. No good where he found it. It had to be relocated. It was used to benefit the Lord's purpose and for the good of the people. I'll tell you something else. That vessel had to be untied. It was tied up. They didn't just row that thing in the bank, crawl out. You know better than do that over on the river. Our little boat would be down south somewhere. It had to be untied. Had to be untied. It was held in place by one thing or another. More than likely, some kind of a dock, temporary dock, maybe an anchor. And then fourthly, the vessel remained in shallow water when he was talking. He said, just push out a little. Just push out a little. And so long as he was talking and teaching, that ship stayed right there in the shallow water. Yeah, this might sound like nitpicking. I'm not trying to nitpick. I glorify God for anybody that preaches the gospel. But you can preach the gospel in such an intellectual way to it right over people's heads. They're not getting what you're saying. You've been sitting in your study 24/7 and you got all this information compiled. They've been out here earning a living. They get to read maybe half hour a day, hour a day maybe. And you come up in the pulpit and you start blasting them with all of these things, and they're just looking at each other and they're looking, where does it say that? What? If you're going to preach to the people, just stay in the shallow water. Don't get in the deep water. Stay right here in the shallow water where they can hear you. Where they can hear you. Where they can see you. Stay right there in the shallow water. What made that ship sufficient? It was Christ. He's the revelation of God. And if you have Christ, you have everything you need as a preacher. If you don't have Christ, you have nothing, nothing to offer the people. And then here's the fourth thing I want you to see in these verses. I want you to see their calling. When he left off speaking, when he finished up his discourse, Simon's in the boat, and he tells Simon, he said, thrust on out into the deep waters. I'm going to prepare you for the ministry. I'm going to prepare you for the ministry. In Psalm 107, verse 23, it says, they that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Now listen. Yea, even the deep things of God. He took Peter, that would be an apostle of Christ, he took him out into the deep waters. And then he's gonna confirm his calling. He's gonna confirm that he is the Christ. He's God come into the flesh, and that's why Peter, when he saw that draught of fishes, fell down at his knees and said, depart from me. Any saint throughout the Old Testament, when God revealed himself in a vision or whatever, in the smoke or whatever, they all thought they were going to die. Every one of them. Daniel said, think about how righteous Daniel was. And Daniel said, when I saw the Lord, my comeliness melted into corruption. And this draught of fishes was not done to show them what great numbers would be brought in, or perhaps it was. They did bring in great numbers. Peter preached at Pentecost. 3,000 souls initially believed that day. And then thousands more in the days to come. So there was a great draught of men. But it wasn't done so much to show what great numbers they'd bring into the church. It was done to convince them that there was a great harvest and they were going to be a part of it. They were going to be a part of it. They were chosen of God, fellow laborers, Paul said, with God. And it wouldn't be done due to any natural talent, determination, or experience that they might have. Those fish swam into their nets because God told them to. That's right. They swam right into those nets. God called them. Well, you say, he don't control the fish. Well, I tell you what he told his apostles. They were worried about paying taxes. He said, go right down there. There's a fish down there. When you pull him out, open his mouth. There's your taxes. That sounds like somebody who don't know what's going on. Oh, my soul. Everything in the ministry is dependent on God. They toiled all night and caught nothing. But at his word, and that's where it's at his word. If it doesn't matter what you think about preaching the gospel. It doesn't matter what you think about this and think about that. It's his word. And those who know him know to listen for his word. They know the condition of the rest of the world. They want to hear what he has to say. Once he says a thing, then I'm convinced of it. I'm not backing up off of it. I'm going to preach it dogmatically because he said it. And it ain't going to change. Ain't going to change. Realizing the draw to fish to be the working of God, Peter said, depart from me. And every person of faith, as they see the glory of God in Christ, the first thing they realize is their worthlessness. It's all hanging on him. It's all in him. And especially those he calls to be his ambassadors. And then lastly, here's the mind of Christ in those he calls. Luke chapter 5, verse 11. When they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. They grew up in that place, Russell. You know why people don't want to leave a place to go to another? I'm going to tell you why. Because they're plugged in. They're connected. They were born there. They grew up and went to school with the president of the bank. They know the plant manager down at the plant. They grew up with him. They're plugged in. They're connected. Life is easy. You think life wasn't easy for this fisherman? I know he worked for a living, but he was plugged in. He knew who to see. He knew who to go to. He knew all these things. But boy, once he met Christ, he forsook all. It didn't say they thought about it for a week or two. When they got that ship to land, they said, goodbye, ship. Goodbye. And they followed him. That's the mind of the believer. That's his mind. I'll never forget that call I received from Brother Henry. He said, you need to quit your job, sell your house, and move up here. I've got a house that you can rent right here in my parking lot. And you're going to be going out to preach. And he said, you need to be here, not way down there. I had the best job I ever had, Larry. I was working for General Electric Test Facilities that make jet engines. I worked year-round out there on that place. And once you get a pass, once you've been investigated and so on, and you get a pass to go on there, they don't want anybody else. They want people that's already been proven. They want you to work there. And I was working there. I could have all the overtime I wanted. It was just a great job. I could work year-round. And had that job for about a month. He said, you need to quit your job. Whew. need to sell your house. I just bought that house, put a new roof on it, new overhangs, everything in it, new heaters, lights, new storm doors, everything. I just got it fixed up, had a nice garage there, had a little creek that run past the garage. Man, I didn't want to move. Had 10 or 12 acres there. I could have me a garden. Sell your house and move up here and live in a rental house. When they got the land, they forsook all. And you will too if he calls you. Preacher or not, you'll forsake all and follow him. Why? Because in him is life. That's why. You won't be where he is. I don't want to be where he's not. He was in Nazareth and he left Nazareth and he didn't do anything for Nazareth. But he come down to Capernaum and now preaching all around in Galilee and he's healing everybody that bring to him. I want to be where he's at. That's where the mysteries are unfolded. That's where all of these things are given. Everything that God has for sinners is in Christ. I want to be where he's at. And that's why they forsook all. Thank you.